If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 25. We're going to be in Psalm 25, 13, and 77. So Psalm 25, 13, 77, if you have the YouVersion event, you can follow along in there in the Bible app. And as you are turning there, scrolling there, let's go to our Father in prayer. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that your Bible is full of different languages and words to express what is going on in our lives. Lord, you're not afraid of our emotions. You're not afraid of anything. And so we can come to you with whatever is in our hearts and our minds. And so, Lord, would your Spirit please illuminate our minds and our hearts as to what you have for us in the Psalms. Lord, may we listen well. Guide my words. Guide our hearts. May you be honored and glorified, and may we be encouraged and challenged by what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So do you know what the first thing I did in my life outside of my mother's womb? Why, am I some sort of weakling? Absolutely, I cried. As a newborn, the first thing I did with the breath and lungs and voice God gave me was cry. And I believe it would be safe to say that just about every person born did or does the same thing. This is part of what it means to be human. Life is full of many great joys, but also many great hardship. Life isn't all hardship, but hardship does come to all of us because we are broken and we live in a sinful and broken world. To cry is human. And so because hardship is part of our life, we know what God has given us to endure and work through the pain we encounter. And so for this month of November, we are going to look at what it means to lament. And what it means to lament, how we lament. And we're going to do this by looking at the Psalms. And I am being helped by a great book and a great deal by Mark Vrogup's book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament. Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, Discovering the Grace of Lament by Mark Vrogup. And I want to strongly recommend, especially those of you in a season of pain and lament, to pick it up either on Kindle or in print or audiobook. For those of you who don't read, you have no excuse. There are things called audiobooks. Listen to them on your commute. And we'll take a break after November for Advent in December, but in January we're going to walk through the book of Lamentations. So get excited. And so we might feel that seems like a lot of lament, especially during the holidays, and you're correct. But I don't think it's a bad thing to dwell in the reality that God has given us a way to pray and a way to express our pain to Him. And so we're going to take our time with this, and so that it will dwell deep into our DNA as individuals and as a church. As we seek to live in the in-between of the cross, knowing that all things have been taken care of on the cross, and the hope of final full restoration in Jesus, but we live in the in-between where there is plenty of pain because life is hard. And hard is not bad, but hard is hard, as Mark Vrogup says. We live in between these realities. God is good and life is hard. Jesus has come and rescued us from sin, Satan, and death, but we still wait for Jesus to come again and wipe every tear away. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." The Christian life is simply living between these two equally true realities, that God is good and life is hard. And God has given us more than crying to express this reality. God has given us the gift and the grace of lament. And as Pastor Vogrip says, Christians affirm that the world is broken, God is powerful, and he will be faithful. Therefore, lament stands in the gap between pain and promise. And we often don't look at lament as a gift. In fact, we avoid it. When we sing on Sunday mornings, how many of our songs are laments? And the reality is that most songs written today are more praise and encouragement, but not much lament. And before you go and knock modern songwriting, I encourage you to flip through the hymnal in front of you and try to find a healthy dose of lament. It will be a challenge. It has always been a challenge for humanity to sing lament. There have been hymns written in the course of church history that are lament, but you have to go looking for them because they don't sell well. Pain doesn't sell well. But the oldest hymn book of the Christian faith was written with a third of the songs being lament. Do you know what hymn or song book that is? The Psalms. A third, 33% of God's songbook for the church, the first hymnal, is lament. That should tell us that lament is important for our spiritual health and struggle in times of hardship. Again, as Pastor Vogrip says, to cry is human, but to lament is Christian. And that's because lament is not just sitting in a room crying or talking about all the bad stuff around you with other people, but it is a prayer to God. It is a prayer of someone in deep sorrow, deep pain, deep affliction, crying out to God when life doesn't fit with what we know to be true about him. Laments take the reality of brokenness, the reality of pain, and turns it to God. And so when it seems that Jesus or justice or God's promises are slow to come to us, slow to arrive, we have lament to voice that sorrow, voice that pain, voice that disappointment, while also acknowledging what we know to be true about God. And so lament is not just airing our grievances. It is about walking through our pain in prayer and then ending in trust of God. And so most laments follow a pattern, although the pattern is not always 1-2-3 order. There's overlap. It can be kind of messed up because the reality about pain is pain's messy. And when we are emotional, when we are expressing our emotions, it's hard to be orderly. And we see that in the Psalms, when the psalmist, whether it's David or Asaph or somebody else, when they're offering their heart to God, it's not always orderly, it's messy. And so in a lament, the believer turns to God, complains, he asks, he, she asks, and trusts. And so we turn to God, we lay out our complaint, we ask him boldly for help or relief, and then we place our trust in God and his promises, what we know to be true about him. And so that's why lament is a prayer. It isn't just feeling sad and depressed. It's not just being mad. We aren't just hurting. It's a prayer, a statement to God. And that's why crying is human and lament is Christian. And so I want us to look today at turning to God. In our pain, we choose to keep talking to God. And so in general, laments involve these four elements of turning, complaint, asking, and trusting. In the midst of grief and sorrow and hardship, it is very easy to withdraw from God and disconnect from him. And I've heard many times from people who are struggling that it's hard to come to worship when life isn't going well. And some of that's because it's hard to keep answering the same questions week after week. Some of that's because it's hard to see that people don't seem to struggle as we do. But I think a lot of it is deep down is because we are withdrawing not from God's people, but from him. After David lost the child, David and Bathsheba lost their son from their sin, what was David's first response? Go to worship in his pain and his hardship. Turning to the Lord. And so we sing and we pray and we talk about the promises of God as we worship. But sometimes those promises don't feel real. And so we begin to turn away from God. But lament helps us to take our feelings and take them and pursue what we know is true. And we do it with raw honesty. And the first step is that we have to turn to our Lord. And so look at me first with Psalm 25 of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, for I wait all the day long. Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. O, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I seek refuge in you. My integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all its trouble. And so David is feeling overwhelmed. He is in trouble, yet he turns to God. He right off the bat lifts up his soul, his entire life, to God. And then he starts the wrestling match of prayer. He goes through asking for God's help, weaving in trust of God's character and promises, and he asks God to act in accordance with God's character. He complains of affliction he is enduring and the hatred his enemies have for him. And notice this isn't a clean and orderly prayer. David is emotional. He bears his heart and feelings to God. And he regularly draws his mind back to the goodness of God, but it is immersed in pain and he is enduring. And he is immersed in what he would like God to do for him and on his behalf. And so prayer, especially prayer in pain, is not neat and tidy. When we are hurting, we don't necessarily turn to God all put together. We are a mess. Our mascara is running. Our noses are dripping. We are a spiritual, emotional mess. And so when the diagnosis comes, when our kids do exactly what we don't want them to do, when they turn from the Lord, when they do things like this, that, the other thing, when our car is rear-ended, when work just is an absolute mess and a struggle, when things don't work out the way they're supposed to be, we are a mess. And the choice is to turn from God and just run from his ways and his things and accept it. Oh, well, this is my reality. Instead of doing that, we turn to God and say, God, not the way it's supposed to be. How long is it going to be this way? We don't have to accept the mess and wallow in it. We can offer our heart's pain and desire to our God. Our minds and our hearts are a mess, yet we choose to keep talking to him. We keep turning to him. David doesn't replace God with his inner court. He doesn't replace God with his wife, his kids, or a priest, although it is good to let others bear our burdens with us and bear our load. But it is of first importance that we turn to God in our pain. And this is not limited to just one time in David's life. If we go through 1 and 2 Samuel, we see David's life is just one obstacle after another. Some of his own fault and a lot of things that are just because he's king and leadership takes its toll. But in Psalm 13, David says this, "How long, O Lord?" God, when's this going to end? When is relief coming? How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? These are kind of accusational in some ways. Does God ever forget? No, but it feels like it. How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? God, how long do I have to feel like this? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lift up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. God, this is going to kill me. Consider and answer me. Lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. See the tension? God, things are rotten. But you have dealt bountifully with me. David is even more raw in this Psalm 13 than he was in Psalm 25. He comes to God with a bold question and complaint right along with turning God. This is an overlap. Yet he gets to trusting the promises of God, the steadfast love of God. And as we will see, if we never move into trusting God, if we only turn and we only complain and we only ask and we never get to trust, we're just sad. We're not lamenting. In his pain, instead of giving the silent treatment because he's upset with God, he takes his sorrow and talks to God about them. He also doesn't live in denial like everything's fine. If I don't like what I'm feeling, then if I ignore it, it might go away. It's kind of like the kid who thinks if they just cover their eyes, then no one's actually in the room looking at them. Or in the movie Jurassic Park, apparently they believed that T-Rexes can't see you very well if you just stay still. Just staying still and not dealing with things doesn't make them go away. And the opposite end of the spectrum of despair, like he can't do this. In our pain, we should not deny or ignore the pain. And we should not give up hope and give in to despair. We take our pain and we talk to God about it. He's got broad shoulders. And that is what God teaches us to do in a third of the Psalms. When life doesn't make sense, when it's difficult, we talk to God. And so lament is turning to God. And it's not limited to Kingly David. Others have had to walk through lament as well. Psalm 77, to the choir master according to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints, Selah. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion, Selah? Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. With your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. I actually missed that part when I was going through this. Your footprints were unseen. Just because we don't see the Lord doesn't mean he's not present in your pain. Asaph seeks God in his pain. And in fact, he goes so far as to say it was tiresome, it was wearisome to turn to God. When I turned to God, I moaned. It was a wearisome task to turn to you. It's not easy when we are in pain to turn to God. It's often easier to curl up into a ball, isolate ourselves from God and others when we're in pain. But that's the last thing. And in fact, that isn't even the last thing to do. It is not an option for the believer. We must, in our pain, turn to God in all our honest hurt and travail. And it's not easy. If you have ever walked through a difficult season of sorrow and you've asked God and the answer has been no or wait, it's wearisome. And it's really hard to keep praying. But we must continue to turn to Him. For lament is the language that we learn to do this. It is a journey of pain into the arms of God. And it's actually the path we must walk before we can get to praise and trust. And we don't lament for lament's sake. Lament is not the end goal. The end goal is trust. And so who do we trust? The God who saves. All three of these psalms, in some way or another, reference trusting in the covenant, steadfast love of God. And Psalm 77 explicitly states what event in the life of Israel showed the ultimate steadfast covenant love of God. And do you know what that is? The Exodus. Crossing over the Red Sea into safety. Israel was in slavery for how long? 400 years. Some people started in hardship and died in hardship. That's multi-generational. And their cry was, Lord, save us. And He did. God rescued them. And this is how they knew they could put their trust in God, for He delivered and delivers His people. What's the Exodus event for the Christian? The cross. The death and resurrection of Christ. Jesus bought, purchased the right to make everything right. It is in the cross that we see God come close to us in the midst of pain. And He doesn't just come close. He endures what we have endured, pain and suffering. And so while we sit here sometimes in our pain and we are tempted to give God the silent treatment, Jesus was given the silent treatment by God on the cross. He endured the silence of God on our behalf. We have been delivered by God, and so we turn to Him in our hardship. For as Hebrews 4:15-16 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And so the language that we use when we are in pain, when we are suffering, when life isn't the way that it should be, when we approach the throne of grace, we lament. When we're in joy, we approach with praise and thanksgiving. So whatever the language of our hearts is, it is because of what Jesus has done that we can approach our Savior with confidence that it is going to be okay, even if I don't feel it right now. And so God is not afraid of our feelings. But he has given us the language of lament. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? Will you let my enemies prevail against me? Will you allow this cancer to take my life? Will you allow my wife to end up in a wheelchair? And the answer may be yes. But it is with God's power and strength we endure. For he will not be in the heaven forever. He will come with a thunderous cry to lift us from the dead and not just knit us back together, but to take his hand and wipe every tear. Amen. That is the language of lament. That is the language we cry when we don't know what today or tomorrow holds. And so in the pain and when life doesn't go the way it's supposed to go, we do not turn away from him. We turn to him who is the rock of salvation. Our fortress is our God, our cornerstone, on which all of our heart and hope has been built. And so may we turn. May we turn to him in our fear, in our pain, and in our joys. For we do not know what tomorrow brings, but we do know who brings tomorrow. And so, Father, we thank you. And we do cry out, how long will it be this way? And we do, Lord, lay out that things are not the way we want them. And ultimately, they are not the way you want them. So, Lord, even as the Lord's Prayer asks, may your kingdom come and be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we trust in your steadfast love as it was shown on the cross, that you bore our sins and you carried them. And so, Lord, as we bear the cross of each day's struggles, we ask for the grace to continue to walk and to continue to turn to you and lay our lives down in you and for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.